Ready, set, rate cut. Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Lots of important moves around the world this morning as we continue with Fallout, our special coverage of the global financial crisis. The U.S. Federal Reserve just teamed up with several other central banks for a coordinated rate cut. The Fed slashed its key rate by half a percentage point. It now stands at 1.5%. And standing by is University of Maryland economist Peter Morici. He's closely following the morning's developments. Professor, what kind of message is this going to send to markets?
Well, the central banks are trying to assure investors that they are acting in a coordinated fashion. And this indicates that the central banks are addressing this as a global crisis, something that investors and folks that watch the banks are interested in seeing.
Is this going to send that message?
I think it will, but I don't think it'll have a permanent and salutary effect, because the banks themselves are not functioning reasonably. The Fed has already pumped hundreds of billions of dollars into the banks, but it can't get them borrowing again. As a consequence, it's become a bank itself. It's loaning directly to businesses as of yesterday. The fact of the matter is the banks are dysfunctional at this time, so lowering their borrowing rate at the Fed and the other central banks around the world will hardly loosen up credit enough. This is more of a symbolic act.
Well, and I'm glad that you said that, because I'm wondering how much of a difference this is going to make, since Fed funds are already trading below this 1.5%.
Part of the problem is the banks are functioning very differently than they did 10 years ago, and they're functioning in a way that's causing them to shy away from traditional business lending and mortgage lending and move into other financial services. As a consequence, no matter how much money we throw at them and no matter how cheap we make it, credit markets will not renew until other institutions emerge to take their place.
And now with the trigger pulled on this rate cut, it seems that we are really running out of bullets here. What if this doesn't work?
If it doesn't work, then we are in a crisis on the scale of the Depression when Roosevelt closed the banks. Now, I'm not saying the new president will close the banks, but he may finally have to intervene in how they're run. During the Depression, the federal government did buy equity in the banks. We might not have to do that, but we're going to have to go to Wall Street and tell them they're going to have to do business very differently, because the manner in which they are doing business is destroying the economy.
Professor, it seems like everyone's looking for some sort of idea of what does this mean for me? What would you say to people right now?
This is a good time to trim your debt, to be conservative on what you spend, and to just generally be careful with money. We are going to go through a period of significant economic turbulence. If you have your job, hold on to it like your eye teeth, because the job market's going to get very poor. And be very careful with your finances, because credit's going to be tough to come by.
Peter Morici is an economist at the University of Maryland. Professor, thanks so much.
You're quite welcome.
It looks like the rate cuts are helping European markets pare some losses this hour after hitting five-year lows earlier today. In Japan, the biggest one-day percentage fall since the crash of October 1987. Now, before we learned about the rate cut, investors were trying to make sense of a UK bailout plan announced this morning for banks. Our European correspondent Stephen Beer joins us now from London. Stephen, what's this about?
This is a big and very complicated package, but the main part of it is an offer by the government to put in up to $90 billion of taxpayers' cash into the British banking system. So banks can apply for this cash, and in return for some of the cash, they would hand over preferred shares to the government.
So some clear differences between this and the U.S. Henry Paulson bailout.
Yes, unlike the Paulson plan, this isn't the government buying up the toxic assets. This is the government stepping in and, with the backing of the taxpayer, becoming a part owner of some of the country's biggest banks. Now, this isn't outright nationalization. They're not taking control over the day-to-day running of any of these banks, but there are going to be some strings attached. Those banks that do take part in this scheme will have restrictions on bank executives' pay and restrictions on dividends, for example.
Okay, our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, in London. Thanks a lot, Stephen.
Okay, Renita.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, committed to helping Americans save on gas and become energy independent at publictransportation.org. And by the Medtronic Foundation, letting listeners know that October is Sudden Cardiac Awareness Month. More about SCA risks and treatment at hearthelp.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
A lot of finger-pointing going on these days. Commentator Will Wilkinson weighs in with his thoughts on the financial crisis.
Is our current financial crisis the product of too little government regulation or too much? Advanced financial markets don't exist in a vacuum. They operate in a framework of law that defines ownership and sets acceptable terms of exchange. Some of these markets are entirely creatures of government. The market in Treasury securities, for example, is key to Washington's ability to control the money supply. And the market in mortgage-backed securities, ground zero of the crisis, began in earnest when the government under Lyndon Johnson started pooling home loans into securities and selling them off to investors. We all know the current mess was triggered by a speculative bubble in home prices, and the origins of the bubble are familiar – easy money, meaty tax deductions for homeowners, and relaxed lending standards. But let's not forget the market for mortgage-backed securities. It took the highly risky form it did because the government created entities like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and gave them certain regulatory advantages. Government policy created market incentives that helped lead us toward disaster. One lesson of the crisis is that ours is hardly a free market system. The American economy is a Byzantine amalgam of market and state institutions enmeshed in a thicket of regulation. When part of it goes bust, it's too easy to pin the whole blame on market failure. A market is only as stable as the regulations that define it. We don't need more regulation or less. We need better regulation. But who will give it to us? Technocrats like Ben Bernanke and Henry Paulson? Congress? Our fearless lawmakers on Capitol Hill did very little to alter Paulson's initial 2.5-page plan, other than to add 450 pages of pork. The real question now is not whether we need more regulation or less. It's whether our political process can deliver the right regulation. I'm not getting my hopes up.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. Find a link to his blog at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.